This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Shabbos, tape number 6. For subscription information about the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, please contact Daf Yomi Tapes, PO Box 831, Monsey, New York, 10952, or call us at 1-888-DAF-YOMI. This tape is dedicated in memory of Ha'isha Ela Bas Rav Shmuel Grossman, Zichrono Livrocha. Our Magid Shia is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
We're holding a Masechta Shabbos at the Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Beis Amid Beis. And the Mishnah says, if on Shabbos someone takes out a loaf of bread into a Rishus HaRabim, he's chayev. If two people take out a loaf together, they're putter, because both people together carried the loaf, so no one person is doing the entire melacha. But if an item is so heavy that two people are needed to carry it out, in other words, zeh ein yochel, v'zeh ein yochel, then they're both chayev if they carry it out together. Reb Shimon says, even in that case, they're potter. Gemara. The Mishnah learned its halachas from the word in the pasuk in Vayikra Perak Dalet, ba'asoysa, by doing it, i.e., only one who performs the entire malacha is chayev, but one who just does part of a malacha is potter. So if two people write with a quill together, since each person only did part, they're both potter. Daf Tzadik Gimel. Similarly, Reb Shimon learns that if one person makes an akira from a rishus hayachid, and a different person makes a hanacha in a rishus harabim, both are potter as well, since no one person did the entire malacha. If a weak person helps a strong person, and his help is insignificant, the strong person is chayef, and the weak one is potter, since we say, misayeya ein bay mamish, just helping someone is insignificant. And the same rule of misayeya applies to cases of tumah as well. When the kayin does the avayda in the Beis HaMikdash, his feet must be on the floor. If one foot rests on a keli, and if you pulled away the keli, he would fall, the avayda would be pasul. But if he would not fall, the avayda is kosher. An additional rule is that the avayda must be done with the right hand, not the left hand. The next Mishnah. If someone takes out less than a shear of food, less than a gregaris, less than the size of a fig, but it's in a keli, he's putter, since the keli is tofel to the food, so it's not considered chashev. Also, if someone takes out a live person in a bed, so he's putter on the person, since we say chai noisei es atzmai. Chai, a person who is living, balances himself and supports his own weight. And he's also putter for carrying the bed, since the bed is tofel to the person. But if he carries a dead person, then one is chayev for carrying the mace. If one carries a kezias of a mace, or a kezias of a nevela, since this shear is enough to be metame, it's enough to be chashev, and therefore carrying it would be usser, then he would be chayev. But Reb Shimon says putter in these cases, since this is considered a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Rashi explains that malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is a malacha which is not needed for a constructive purposes, or doesn't serve the constructive purposes that it was meant to, i.e. he doesn't carry the mace for a constructive purpose, only to avoid contracting tuma from the mace in the house. Taisvis explains that malacha she'ena tzricha legufa means it wasn't done in the way that it was defined for in the Meleches HaMishkan, i.e., Haitzah is only chayev if it's moved since you need it in the place that it's being brought to. But here, the mace was removed since you didn't need it there. You only want it in a different place. Many say, by the way, that this Mishnah is the main source for the recurring machloikas that we have throughout the Masechta between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda regarding Melacha She'en Tzricha Legufa. Reb Shimon says Melacha She'en Tzricha Legufa is Pater. Reb Yehuda says Melacha She'en Tzricha Legufa is chayev. Daf Tzadik Dalad, the Gemara. The Mishnah is like Rabbi Nassan, who holds that chai noisei es atzmai. But if someone is tied up and can't move, then we don't use the kula of chai noisei es atzmai. The Rabbanan said that it was osur to sell behemoths to goyim. We were afraid of malacha being done with them on Shabbos, and we know that there's a inyan of shvisas behema on Shabbos. But Ben Mesera said that a horse is mutter to sell, since its purpose is not for work, but for transport. Today, by the way, it's mutter to sell goyim, all animals, as we see in Yeradeya, Simen Kufnan Aleph, Sif Dalad. Reb Shimon's heter of Melacha She'en Tzricha Legufa Potter is not only if it isn't Legufa of the one who does the Haitzah, but even if it's Legufai, for the object he is acting upon. The Gemara says there was once a mace in a certain place in a Rishus Hayachin, and Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak allowed them to carry it into a Carmelis, where we know that there is no Haitzah Midaraisa. Rashi explains that the corpse was in danger of rotting in the sun or being burnt by a fire. And the corpse, although it's muksa, but if we put a loaf of bread on it, the Rabbanan allowed us to move it, since the loaf is considered the Iker and the mace becomes the Tafel. And it can be moved to a Karmelis because of Kavod HaBrias, which we say, Kavod HaBrias is Deicha, an Isser, the Isser of Haitzah, into a Karmelis, which is an Isser, Mid Rabbanan. The next Mishnah. If someone cut off a fingernail or hairs, this is Geizes, or one who paints their eyes or combs hair, Rabbi Ezra says, Chayav to bring a Chatas. The Chachamim say, it's only Asr Mishum Shvus, a Shvus means it's only Asr because of an Isser Mid Rabbanan, since they were done in an unusual manner. Gemara. The Machlaikis is only if he removes nails with his hand, but if one does it with a Keli, then all agree that he would be Chayav, because it's the normal way to cut a nail. For a man to pull out white hairs from black is Asr Afilu Bachol, because it's an act of a woman, and it's Asr because of La Yilbash Gever Simlas Isha. Finally, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, if roiv of a nail came off, then by hand it's mutter to take off the rest of the nail, since this is considered painful. If it is painful, a person is allowed to do this. Daf Tzadikei. If a woman paints her eyes on Shabbos, she's chayev for tzeveah. If she braids her hair, she's chayev for baina. One who milks an animal or who makes cheese is also chayev. Cheese is usser due to baina. But chaliva, milking, is usser due to mefarik, extracting, which is a tolda of the malacha of dash, threshing. Kuchas al-Daf says that all malachas, which are usser on Shabbos, are also usser on Yontif, except for malachas which are performed in preparation of eichel nefesh, for food, such as kneading and cooking. And he brings the Gemara in Be'a Daf Yud Be'ez Amar Alf, Be'ez Hillel, who says that those malachas which are mutter for the sake of eichel nefesh are permitted for other Yontif purposes as well. This is based on the rule of Mitoich Shehutra Lutzerich eichel nefesh, Hutranami Shalei Lutzerich eichel nefesh. And this is called the rule of Mitoich. Once something is mutter for the purpose of eating, it also becomes mutter not for the purpose of eating. For example, since one may perform the malacha of haitzah, carrying, when needed for preparation of food, one may carry for different reasons as well, such as to bring his lulav to shul. However, a malacha such as sewing, which is never needed for eichel nefesh, is not permitted for any purpose on yontif. Taisvis raises an interesting question. Presumably, one who wants to eat cheese on yontif is permitted to make it, because it is being done in preparation of eichel nefesh, since cheese involves the malacha of baina, building. As our Gemara says, then it follows that performing baina on yontif is permitted for other yontif necessities as well, based on Beis Hillel's principle, mitaych shehutra l'tzarech, hutranami shalei l'tzarech. Consequently, Taisvis argues that if someone's house collapses on yontif, he should be permitted to rebuild it if he needs it for yontif, such as to protect himself from the elements. Since making cheese, which involves baina, is permitted on yontif for the sake of eichel nefesh, it should also be permitted for other yontif needs as well. Taisvis answers that indeed there is no isser min haTorah for one to rebuild his house on yontif. However, it is also mid rabbanan because it involves excessive exertion, tirchi yisera, and it's considered an uvda dechol, a weekday type chore. Therefore, it should really be usser. The Gemara says, we hold like Reb Shimon that a davar she'ein meskaven is mutter. So if someone wants to put water on a dirt floor, he can do so lechatchila, since his kavana is not to level the floor, which is really the malacha, but just to keep it clean. Reb Yehuda, by the way, argues, and he would hold if davar she'ein meskaven is usser, and we know, of course, the halacha is like Reb Shimon lekula. The Mishnah. If a flower pot has a hole in it, and this is referred to as an otzitz nakuv, and someone pulls a plant from it, the plant here is being nourished from the ground, even though it's unconnected, and in this case we say that he's chayev for toilish. But if it doesn't have a hole, so therefore it gets no nourishment from the ground, then he's potter, since it's like it's already detached. Reb Shimon says in both cases we say that he's potter, since the maisa, it's not attached. Gemara. Plants can only be mukhshel lekabel tumah if they are detached, and then they come into contact with one of the seven liquids. Finally, a kli cheres, depending on the size of its hole, has various halachas regarding tumah. For example, if the hole can't hold something the size of an olive, it cannot become tameh. Daf tzadik vav. Regarding the size of a hole needed on a flower pot attached to the ground, so they can't be mekamel tumah, this is a machlekes. Rabbi Yossi says that it has to be at least the size of a pomegranate. Others say that it has to be the size of a small root. And the siman to remember this is Echad Hamarba vi Echad Hamamit, said vis-a-vis a karban oila, whether one gives a lot, he gives a bird, for example, or he just gives a little bit, just flour, ubavad she'echaben libay l'shamayim, as long as he has kavanah to do it l'shem shamayim, he's yaitse. Here too, it tells us that the two shitas are on the opposite sides of the spectrum, very big, pomegranate, and very small, just the size of a root. This marks the end of this parak. Parak Yud Aleph, let's begin. Parak Hazarik, the Mishnah. If someone throws an article from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, or from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, he's chayef, because we know carrying is an av, and throwing is a tolda. And it's aser, since Lamaisa there is both an akira as well as a hanocha. If he throws from Rishus HaYachid to a different Rishus HaYachid, and there is a Rishus HaRabim in between them, Rabbi Akiva says chayef, and the Chachamim say potter. An example of this case, according to Chachamim, is two porches on opposite sides of the street. In addition, if one throws or hands over the item from one balcony to the other, then he's potter. But if both are on the same side of the street, then the maishit, the one who extends, would be chayev. But the zarek, one person who throws, would be potter. And a maishit is chayev, because that's how the Levium handed boards from one wagon to the other during the time of the Lemleches HaMishkan. The Gemara. Zrika, throwing, is a tolda of haitzah, of carrying. And where is haitzah written in the Torah? Taisus here, by the way, says that although the other malachas don't have a specific pasuk in the Torah, but here we want a pasuk since haitzah is considered a malacha gerua, an inferior labor, because it's not really much of a labor. More answers by Moshe Rabbeinu regarding carrying contributions for the Mishkan. The Gemara says haitzah is an av, i.e. taking out two rishus harabim, but hachnasa, bringing into a rishus hayachid from a rishus harabim, that's a tolda. If someone throws a cake in rishus harabim, and it landed more than 10 tfachim from the ground, it's like zerek ba'avir, and he's potter, since more than 10 tfachim is not considered a rishus harabim. But if it fell below 10 tfachim, then obviously he's chayef. The halacha of carrying dalet amas in rishus harabim is learnt halacha l'meishim isina. We know that we mentioned the real malachas are carrying from a rishus harabim to rishus hayachid, or vice versa. But carrying dalet amas in a rishus harabim, that's halacha l'meishim isina. Who was the one who was the mechal Shabbos in the Midbar, and was called the Mekayshish Eitzim, the one who gathered wood? Our answer is, he was Tzlafchad. He was the one who had five daughters, as we know in Bamidbar Chav Zayin, and when he died, they came to be Yerushed. They were the Benais Tzlafchad, Daf Tzadik Zayin. Reish Lakish says, HaKayshish Bikshirim, Leika Begufay. If someone suspects a person who is Kusher, he will be stricken. As we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu, who was stricken momentarily with leprosy when he was Chayshish in Klal Yisrael. Rava says a taiva from Hashem comes quicker than a punishment for Hashem. Hashem usually waits until the last minute to give the punishment. And the Iyun Yaakov explains that the reason, possibly, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits until the last minute is in order to give a person who was chayte the greatest opportunity to do tshuva before the punishment actually comes. Mashenken, when he gives the reward, he wants to give it as quickly as possible. The Gemara says if one throws from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaYachid with a Rishus HaRabim in the middle, the Chachamim say potter, since kluta lav kuhuncha dami, flying something in the air, is not considered like it landed on the ground. According to Rabbi Akiva, he's chayev, since kluta kamishahuncha dami. Kluta, when it flies through, it's as if it was set down on the ground. Therefore, it was like there was a hanocha. The Gemara says anything within three tvachim of the ground, it's considered as if it's connected to the ground. And this would be considered, therefore, a rishus harabim as well. This halacha is called lavud. And the same rule applies to walls of a sukkah near the ground, that if it's within three tvachim, it's called lavud, and therefore it's like attached to the ground. And the halacha of lavud is learnt halacha l'maisha misinai. If someone throws an item from a rishus harabim to a rishus harabim with a rishus hayachid in the middle, which is the opposite case of the Mishnah, Rabbi says chayev, and the chachamim say potter. But Rabbi and Shmuel say Rabbi was only mechayev if the rishus hayachid had a roof, so it's considered like filled with goods, and therefore it's like a hanacha. But if it has no roof, then he's potter. The Havamina was that Rabbi Yehuda holds one is mechuyev for two chatois, one for haitzah and one for hachnasa. But Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi said he's only chayev for one chatas. If the item passed through two rishus harabims, as long as the total distance traveled in both rishus harabims was at least dalet amos, you can be mitzdarets both. You can be mitzdarev both of them. 2 + 2 is equal to 4. But if the total distance was less than dalet amos, then he's potter. Even though carrying Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos is chayev, but if the Rishus HaRabim was covered with a roof, he's potter, since this wasn't similar to carrying in the Midbar. The Midbar was uncovered. Aye, but what about the Agolis, the wagons which were covered? Our answer is part was open, and part was covered. And in fact, the bottoms had no floors, just yesedos, just pegs. Regarding the krushim of the Mishkan, the boards, one Mandi Amar held that they were one amma thick from top to bottom, and one Mandi Amar held that they were one amma thick at the base, but they tapered thinner gradually upward. to be only one etzba thick up at the top. In addition to the boards, there were rings and braces, as well as the briach hatichon, a center rad which ran through the boards, put in after the boards were set up. And the briach hatichon was really an ace, since it curved around the corners as well. Daf tzadik tes. The cover of the Mishkan was two sets of five covers with 50 blue loops on the ends that had gold hooks and they looked like stars in the sky. The rule is that an area can only be a Rishus HaRabim if it is at least 16 amas wide. This is learned from the Mishkan, which was 15 amas wide plus an extra amas for the Bnei Levi to stand between the wagons, which were now a half amma each. The Gemara. If a ridge of a pit or a rock is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, so this is now called a Rishus HaYochid, if someone takes an item off the rock to put into a Rishus HaRabim, he's chayef, since the Akira happened in the Rishus HaYochid and the Anocha happened in the Rishus HaRabim. But if these items are smaller than this, then he's pater, since we now have no Rishus HaYochid to be taking from. Gemara. A pit in a Rishus HaRabim, 10 deep and 4 wide, which is now equal to a Rishus HaYochid, you can draw water from it unless there is a mechitza of at least 10 tefachim high all around. So now the whole area is called a Rishus HaYochid, and it's like taking from a Rishus HaYochid, the pit, to a different Rishus HaYochid, the area which is around the pit. And the bore plus the ridge are mitzaref for the 10 tefachim deep to make it into a Rishus HaYochid. What if someone did an Akira and created a mechitza to make it into a Rishus HaYochid both at the same time? Is he chayev? This is a machlokes. Daf kuf. Abaye says a bore in a Rishus HaRabim, which is 10 deep and 8 wide, so it's like a Rishus HaYochid, if someone throws a mat into it, he's chayev. But if it lands vertically and splits the area in half, then he's potter. And if there's a pit of 10 by 4 and it's filled with water, it's still called a Rishus HaYochid. So if someone throws it into a Rishus HaRabim, he's chayev. But if it's filled with peiros, he's potter, since mayim lo mevatli mechitzta, avol peiros mevatli mechitzta. And the Rambam explains that filling a pit with fruit cancels its Rishus HaYochid status because the fruit obscures the view of the pit's walls, which as a rule must be visible. In contrast, water does not nullify the pit's Rishus HaYochid status, since water is transparent and does not obstruct the view of the pit's walls. The next Mishnah. If someone throws an object the distance of Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim toward a wall, if it landed higher than 10 tefachim, he's pater, since this is called a makom ptur. But if it landed below 10 tefachim, he's chayev, since this is now a Rishus HaRabim. Gemara. If it landed in a crack more than 10 tefachim, then it's totally in the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Rabbanan. Rav Meir holds, chaykikin lahashlam. It's like we carve out to be mashlam the shear. So even if the space is less than 4 tefachim wide, we consider it to be carved out at more than 4 tefachim, so he's chayev. But the Rabbanan say, ain chaykikin lahashlam, therefore he's pater. The Gemara says if someone throws an object from a Rishus HaRabim onto a tel hamislaket, onto a hill which gradually achieves the height of 10 tefachim within a span of only dalet amos, so he's chayev, since it's like throwing from a Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. Rashi explains that this hill is only called a Rishus HaYochid if it is so steep that it is difficult to walk up it, lo nicha tashmishte, i.e. it reaches the height of 10 tefachim in a distance of just 4 amos, which is very steep. But if it isn't that steep, it becomes viewed as a part of the Rishus HaRabim, which it rests on. It's just a little mound in the Rishus HaRabim, which already exists. The next Mishnah. If someone threw an item in a Rishus HaRabim a distance less than Dalet Amos, but it rolls beyond the Dalet Amos, then he's Potter. But if he threw it Dalet Amos, but it landed closer to him within Dalet Amos, then he's Chayef. Gemara. In the Seifa, it's speaking that it landed beyond the Dalet Amos, therefore there was a Hanocha, and then it rolled back inward. The Mishnah. If someone throws Dalet Amos into the sea, then he's Pater, since a sea is not called a Rishus HaRabim, but rather a Carmelis. If someone throws an item into a Rekak Mayim, a puddle, which is less than 10 Tefachim deep, and the puddle is in a Rishus HaRabim, then he's Chayev, since this is considered just a regular part of an existing Rishus HaRabim. Gemara. And even if the puddle is less than 4 Tefachim wide, it's still called a Rishus HaRabim. Next Mishnah. If someone throws from the Yam, from the sea, to the Yabasha, to the dry part, to the shore, or vice versa, or from a ship into the sea, or vice versa, or from one ship to another, then he's pater, because the sea is considered to be one big carmelis, the boat is a Rishus HaYochid, and the shore is a Rishus HaRabim. So as long as the sea is involved anywhere in the transaction, then the sea is called the carmelis, and therefore he's pater. But if two ships are tied together, and there is no gap between them, it is mutter to carry between them, if they make an Erev Chatzeres. But if they are not tied together, even if there is no gap between them, it's usur to carry, since to see the carmelis separates them. Gemara. Although one is potter if he carries from a boat to the sea, but it is still usur to do lachatrila, since we're still talking about carrying from a rishus hayachid to a carmelis. Daf kuf aleph. Wide boats, which narrow to a point at the bottom, the boats of Mishan, inside of them, one can carry only up to Dalet Amos, since they are called a carmelis. The bottom is less than 10 tefachim wide, so it's not called a mechitza, and then it can't be a rishus hayachid. Why not say good achis mechitza? Since you do have Dalet Tefachim at the top, extend the walls downward, imaginarily, which is what the klal of good achis means, and let's say that it is a rishus hayachid, since now it has mechitzas, imaginarily. Our answer is, since fish can penetrate it, it may be a broken mechitza. In the end, the Gemara refutes this teretz. The Gemara says, once two boats become untied, we say the Erev Chatzeres becomes invalid. But if they become tied again, the mechitza becomes valid again, since we say, kol mechitza shenasa b'shabbos, shma mechitza. Even if it's made on Shabbos, it's still considered to be a good mechitza. The heter of our Mishnah of carrying between boats is even if they are tied with a very weak string, like a chut hasarbel, a neck string, used on shirts. The Gemara says if a boat has kelim on it, and it's tied below a roof that has a mace under it, if it's tied with a strong string, the boat becomes an av hatuma, since it's like connected to the mace, and an av can be metama the kelim on it. But if it is not a strong string, it cannot be metama tumas mace. And this chumra, by a strong string, is only if that cable is made from metal, since only metal which touches a dead body becomes an avi avois hatuma, as the pasuk says, b'chalal cherev. Cherev harehu kecholo. Only metal becomes just like the dead body. But if a person touches the corpse, they only become an av hatuma, not an avi avois hatuma, because a person is not metal. But regarding Hilcha Shabbos, even if boats are tied with a weak string, just a chut hasarbel, one can carry from one ship to another ship. They're considered to be connected. Daf Kuf Beis, the next Mishnah. If someone threw an item on Shabbos b'shagig, and after it left his hand he remembered that it's Shabbos, and then someone else came, or a dog came and caught it, or it got burnt, then he's potter. The klal is that the chiv of chattis only comes if someone was shagig at the beginning and at the end of the maisa. Gemara. If someone carried an item to move it 6 amas in Rishus HaRabim, the first two were b'shagig, the middle two were b'mezid, Rabba says potter, and Rabba says chayef. Finally, the Gemara says it's possible to eat one kezayis of food and be chayef for 5 chatois and 1 asham, just for the 1 achila. How is this possible? If one was tameh and he ate chelev, which was nicer, of kachim on Yom Kippur, and if he's a kain. And if he took it out on Shabbos, he's chayef an additional chatas as well for haitzah. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin parak Yud Beis, Habayna, the Mishnah. If one builds even the shear of a kolshehu, he's chayef for being over on the malacha of Baina. If one shapes or chisels a stone, this is called makeh b'patish, dealing the final blow. Or if one drills, even a kolshehu, he's chayef. The rule is, anyone who does a malacha on Shabbos, which has a kiyum, it lasts, he's chayef. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, even if one just strikes an anvil, he's chayef for makeh b'patish. Kuntres al-Daf brings the Rambam in Hilcha Shabbos, Perek Tes, Seif Halacha Yud Gimel, that according to the Rambam, the Mishnah is saying that a malacha that can endure for one day is considered significant. Whereas according to Rashi, one is not chayev unless the malacha is performed, which is performed, is capable of enduring for a long period of time. The Yerushalmi in Perek Habayna brings a machlokes regarding building a structure with the intent to dismantle it shortly afterwards. Rabbi Yossi Barbun adduces proof from the fact that the Mishkan was constantly assembled and dismantled, that a binyan l'shah, a temporary building, is considered an act of baina, because the malachas of Shabbos are derived from the construction of the Mishkan. Rabbi Yossi maintains that binyan l'shah is not considered an act of baina. He explains the construction of the Mishkan was considered a permanent building because Klal Yisrael traveled al pi hadibur, according to Hashem's instructions, i.e. they remained camped at a given location until Hashem signaled that they should travel further, as we know from the Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Since the length of time of their stopover at any given location was unknown to them, it was considered a permanent stop, and the Mishkan was considered to be a permanent structure. V'nai de Yehuda in Aruch Chaim Siman Lamed asserts that opening an umbrella on Shabbos is usur because it involves asiyas oihel, making a tent, which is prohibited as a tolda of baina. The Chassam Sefer in Aruch Chaim Siman Ayin Beis, citing this Yerushalmi, writes that opening an umbrella is not a malacha min ha-Torah, because it's only a binyan l'sha, since one who opens an umbrella does so with the intent of shutting it after a short period of time, when he comes out of the rain, it is not considered a permanent binyan. Therefore, it is at most only a melacha midrabanan. The Gemara. There are three levels of building. The bottom layer is the foundation. The next layer requires mortar, and the top can just be put on top. Misates, shaping the stone, Rab says it's a tolda of baina, while Shmuel says it's a tolda of makah bepatish. Daf Kuf Gimel, next Mishnah. If one plows, weeds, or cuts branches, even a kol shehu, he's chayev. Gathering wood to improve the ground, even a kol shehu, is chayev. But gathering wood for cooking, in order to be chayev, he must carry enough wood in order to cook an egg. The next Mishnah. If one writes two letters with either hand on Shabbos, he's chayev for the malacha of kaisef. Even if it's with two different inks or in a foreign language, he's chayev. Rabbi Yossi says, any writing is chayev, since that's how it was done in the Mishkan. Two boards had similar marks, so they could be paired up. Therefore, any type of a mark would qualify for ksiva. Rabbi Yehuda says, if someone wanted to spell a long word, and he stopped after two letters and it spelled out a short word, for example, he wanted to spell the word shimon, but he only write the shin mem, which also spells the word shame, then he's also chayev. Gemara. If someone writes shin mem instead of shimon, these two letters have full chashivas, even if the mem is pasuach. From here we see that if a letter was supposed to be written sosum in the Sefer Torah, but was written pasuach, we say that it's kosher. However, by tefillin and mezuzas, we learn from the word uchsav tam that it must be a ksav tam, it must be totally free from mistakes, i.e. it has to be perfect. Daf Kuf Dalet. The closed letters of the Luchais, the Mem and the Samach, stood in place only via a miracle. We know that the letters of the Luchais were carved out on both sides, yet they could be read in the proper order on both sides, obviously a miracle. The Chachamim came to the Beis Medrash and darshaned the letters of the Aleph Beis. For example, they said that Aleph and Beis stand for Aleph Bina, learn insight, meaning to study the Torah deeply. Gimel and Dalet stand for Gemoel Dalim, aid the needy. And the leg of the Gimel stretches towards the Dalet to teach us that Gemel Chasadim run after poor people in order to help them. And the face of the Dalet turns away from the Gimel to tell us that when one gives staka, he should do it secretly so as not to embarrass the Ani. He should turn away from the Ani so the Ani doesn't see him. Shin stands for Sheker, and Tuf is the last letter of Emes. The letters of Sheker are all at the end of the Aleph Beis, while the letters of Emes are spread out through the Aleph Beis. The Aleph is the beginning, the Mem is in the middle, and the Tuf is at the end, to teach us that Sheker is common, while Emes is not. And the letters of Sheker all stand on one foot, not on both feet, to teach us that Sheker cannot stand strongly, it's not on a strong foundation, while Emes has letters with two strong legs, since it stands on a very strong foundation. The next Mishnah. If one writes two Isias, Behelamachas, on Shabbos, he's chayav to bring a chatas. If he uses any type of ink, even on two different walls, then he's chayav. If one writes on his skin, then he's chayav. If he scratches them on his skin, Rabbi Eliezer says chayav, the Chachamim say pater. But if he wrote with ink that doesn't last, for example, fruit juice, or he writes kelachar yad, he writes with his feet, or he writes ksav al gabi ksav, writing which is already on top of other writing, or if he wanted to write ches, but he wrote two zayins instead, then he's pater. If he writes two letters that cannot be read as one unit, then he's also pater. Gemara. Rav Ami says if one writes two different letters, one letter he writes in Tveria and one in Sipari, then he's chayev, since in this case they could be brought together as one unit if they're brought in from the two different cities. Daf Kufei. If someone writes one letter which abbreviates one word, Rabbi Yeshua ben Seira says chayev, the Chachamim say pater. In fact, in many places in the Torah, we have examples of abbreviations. The next Mishnah. If one writes two letters in two different periods of unawareness, for example, one he wrote on Shabbos in the morning with a helam and a period of awareness between them, and one letter he writes in the afternoon, Rabbi Gamliel says chayev, the Chachamim say pater. Gemara. Finally, the machlokes. This machlokes is based on the fact that Rabbi Gamliel, who holds chayev, says ein yediyah lechatzi shir, a partial yediyah cannot separate, therefore two of them can be mitzdarif, and the Chachamim say pater, since yesh yediyah lechatzi shir. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin Perek Yud Gimel, Ha'irig, the Mishnah. In order to be chayev for the malacha of Irig, weaving on Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer says if one weaves three threads at the beginning of the making of a beged, or adds just one thread to a beged which is already in the process of being woven, then he's chayev. The Chachamim say any time in the process, the shear to be chayev is always shnei chutin, two threads. One who makes two bate nirin, two warp threads through loops, he's chayev. In addition, if one is teifer shtei tefiras, he sews two stitches, he's chayev. Sewing, in general, if one sews two stitches, they're chayev. And if one is kerei almanas litfor beis tefirin, a person rips something in order to sew two threads, then he's also chayev. Gemara. If someone tears something on Shabbos, not almanas litfor, but because he's angry, or he's grieving over a mace, he's pater, since this is not called the malacha.